Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:40 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is February 9th. Today we saw most stock markets extend their rallies, and particularly in Asia. The A-share market has so far put in an equal-sized rally. It needs to continue to advance, it needs to break the progression of higher reaction lows, and it needs to find support at a progressively higher level on a significant pullback to really indicate that demand has returned to dominance in the medium term. The odds are that it is probably going to do that. Valuations are really rather attractive, and the monetary and fiscal authorities are starting to mobilize in favor of weakening their stance on trying to pop the property bubble. In the ASEAN region today, there were pretty impressive gains, particularly in Malaysia and in Thailand. The Philippines also remains quite firm, and Indonesia was a little bit firmer in here as well. Both Singapore and Taiwan are notable. They have some of the higher yields in the region. They've lagged a bit, but they're starting to push back above their 200-day moving averages. They've both rallied impressively this week, and they continue to look like they're going to head higher in this environment. Japan was a little bit weaker in here today. The Nikkei was relatively unchanged. It was down 13. In Europe, the majority of markets were pretty steady. The FTSE was stronger by about 0.33%, the DAX by 0.6%. Both the Italian and Dutch indices were down very, very marginally. And into the close on Wall Street, the Dow Jones was pretty steady. It closed up 6, the S&P was up 2, the NASDAQ was a little bit firmer, it was up 0.41% on the composite, up 15 on the NASDAQ 100 future. In the commodity complex, gold was pretty volatile today. It was as high as 1752. It finished out the day at 1730, down about $2. It continues to consolidate in the region above the 1700 area. The other precious metals were also pretty mixed. The silver market was up about 20 cents. The palladium and platinum markets were down marginally. Industrial metals were all pretty steady. They were all in positive territory. Copper in particular was firm. It was stronger by 6.5 cents on the COMEX contract. It's heading back up to that $4 area and continues to look like it can head higher in this environment. The soft commodity sector was all a bit weaker, but not in a dynamic fashion. US Treasuries were well off their low in here today. They were testing the upper side of their range just a couple of weeks ago. They've come right back down to test the lower side. It's a very tight range, and the rally off the low in here today suggests that we might see some additional upside over the next week or two. Ranges are explosions waiting to happen. The ranging process is a decision-making process, and it thins out demand above, below the market and supply above the market, and leads to vacuums so that when you do get a breakout, markets can run faster and farther than one might have been accustomed to within the range. The longer this range persists, the greater the likelihood is that we're going to get a breakout in one direction or the other, and that it's going to be powerful when it does occur. With so much liquidity sloshing around the market, there is a considerable amount of leakage. What we've seen is that central banks feel that they need to continue to increase the supply of money because the velocity of money has been so slow to pick up with pretty unimpressive growth rates and recessionary type environments in a good part of Europe. They can continue to increase the value of money as long as that velocity of money remains low or continues to deteriorate, and that will not have an inflationary impact. But what they don't seem to take account of is that you have seepage. And in a global economy, money flows to the most productive asset. It doesn't necessarily stay in the country in which it's created. That's helping to drive a cyclical bull market in stocks, and helping to drive a cyclical bull market in commodities, and none more so than oil. The West Texas Intermediate price was stronger by over a dollar today, and Brent crude is over $118. And it's an unquestionably bullish pattern on Brent. It's broken the progression of lower rally highs. It's been consolidating above the 200-day moving average for the last couple of months, and now it's pushing on, and it's probably going to go back and test the peak. That's not particularly good news for the global economy over the medium term. It's probably not going to have a great influence in the very short term. Substantially higher oil prices tend to have a lag in terms of their effect on the economy. It's also probably not going to have a great deal of influence as long as central banks continue to flood the market with more and more money. Once they start to tighten, or they start to turn off the spigot, then the impact of higher oil prices will be felt, and felt really rather severely, I suspect. But for the moment, we can probably enjoy a continued advance in terms of this cyclical bull market. We're seeing that an increasing number of markets are pushing on to new high ground. The Dow Jones has either hit a new recovery high, or it's probably going to do so in the next couple of days. We're seeing that an increasing number of markets are pushing on to new high ground, that an increasing number are pushing above their 200-day moving averages and pushing back up into the overhead ranges that were evident since August. And we're also starting to see that relatively unloved markets are returning to fashion. Middle Eastern markets have rallied rather impressively over the last month. Now, one might argue that is because of the higher oil price, but a number of them were rallying before we saw this big rally in oil. So it could be that investors are looking around the globe and seeing that there are a large number of markets that have been rallying for nearly 3 years. And the number that have not had a significant rally is quite small. The Middle Eastern markets certainly fit into that category. There are a number of Eastern European markets, which have had particularly severe declines, but are also rallying rather strongly over the last 6 and 7 weeks. And that brings us to Japan, because Japan is probably the most unloved market of them all. The TOPIX has returned to test the 2008 and 2003 lows. Its rally so far has been reasonable, but certainly not outperforming its regional partners or its regional competitors. But there are interesting things happening. Perhaps the first is that the yen has fallen back again from the 76 area. The Bank of Japan has been defending 76 since after the Fukushima disaster and the tsunami. And the yen encountered resistance there again in the last couple of weeks. It's pushed right back up towards the 78 area. Now, if it can sustain a move above 78, and that's not just pushing above it, it needs to push above it and find support above it, and then extend the advance to really indicate that we've not only seen a short-term low, but a medium-term low is in, and that we're in a new downtrend for the yen. That would certainly help in terms of stock market sentiment towards Japan. But what we are starting to see, even in the absence of conclusive evidence that the yen has topped out here, we're starting to see an increasing number of shares breaking out of 2, 3, and 4 year long bases. Now, as I mentioned, ranges are explosions waiting to happen. And that's no less the case in a market like Japan as it is in treasuries or commodities. Japan has been, I think, virtually ignored by the majority of investors. And we're starting to see that an increasing number of sectors are turning to outperformance. The banking sector has turned to a position of outperformance for the first time in really quite a long time. That's also a condition that we've seen in the USA. The S&P 500 banks are at least performing in line with the wider market. But in Japan, the Japanese banks are outperforming. And that's an important development. Banks often lead in the initial parts of an advance. And we're also seeing that an increasing number of these shares are breaking out of relatively long-term bases. That's an important development. Leaders tend to lead in both directions. They also tend to have some of the more consistent trends. We get the biggest trends in markets with the greatest difference between supply and demand. And leaders generally tend to exemplify those types of markets. So if one wants to gain access, then betting on the leaders, particularly in an environment where the wider market hasn't yet shown conclusive evidence that it has bottomed or that it is in a new bull market, then the leaders can generally have a significant temporal lead relative to the wider market. Now, for the topics to really indicate that not only has it found medium-term support, but that it is in a new bull market, it will need to sustain a move above 1,000 on the topics. But it's currently in the region of the 800s. And that's a significant move. If one were to wait that long, then the leading shares will have outperformed for quite some time and will be significantly above where they are today. Base formation completion is pretty much the holy grail in terms of the type of what we're looking for when we look at long-term charts. Because long-term bases that have extended for a number of years, create that vacuum of supply above the market. It gives ample opportunity for anyone who wanted to sell, so that when demand does return to dominance, that the number of people left to sell and in the region of the upper side of the range has depleted considerably, and markets can rally really quite impressively, and certainly more than people have been used to over a number of years. So base formation completion is something that we sit up and pay attention to. Is it enough to say that the Japanese market is about to turn around and become the world's best performer? Absolutely not. We're probably a long way from that, and there are some significant fundamental problems in the Japanese market. But the strength of the yen has been a headwind for a long time, and if that starts to turn around, there are definitely sectors in Japan that are going to outperform. And the fact that automotive parts and heavy-duty vehicles have been among some of the best performers, that's a high degree of commonality, and that's certainly worth paying attention to. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I wish all the best to all of you.